And I know our community and our county is devastated right now, and it'll be a good while before we get things better. So we're going to have special prayer today. Well, I'm going to have a prayer with you, but pray for our people. A lot of people don't have electricity, no way to get out. The roads are washed away. Many of you know that. But I thought about that this morning. There's just so many people that are devastated that there's nothing we can do for except pray for them and try to help them if we can. Or if we can get to them. Every opportunity you have, oh, try to help somebody if you can. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, dear God, we thank you for the blessing of life you've given us. We thank you, God, for health and strength and the things you have given us. And God, I know in this terrible time that we face, that we just have to put our faith and trust in you. And you're in control of this. You're in control when it happens. And you'll always be in control. And God, we just pray that we would wake up and understand what we need to do. And that's to serve you more, love our neighbors, do the best we can to reach out to others and tell them what a great God you are and what a sacrifice you made for us, Jesus. God, I'm just praying for everybody and those that have lost lives, those that have lost their homes, for the people up in Antioch and other places in our community. Bless us now and guide and lead us. Help us, Lord, to serve you today and every day of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God's grace is amazing. I know many of you are just overwhelmed. But thank you for being here this morning as we gather to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the one that's in charge and one that's in control. And I know that our county and many other counties around us are overwhelmed as well. And so as we gather here this morning, it was a desire and a very spirit-led thing in my heart that we needed church, that we needed those of us who can to gather together and pray and worship God. Folks, we can praise God that we have a building. Amen. We can praise God that we have lights and air conditioning and even a sound system. We may not have internet this morning and people can't watch us from home, but He is going to be able to record it. Praise God. Today, we have church members that are ministering all around us in our community. Some got picked up this morning to go with chainsaws to get a family that has a baby to try to chainsaw in to get them out to safety, shelter. This morning, we have some folks, Millie and Jeff and Cheryl, that are ministering to 15 Hispanics that their trailers got washed away right down here. They've been feeding them. The last few days, we've been ministering to them, and they are very grateful. And I found out how to say pastor in Spanish. Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Pastor. So I'm still learning. Praise God. I learned how to say pastor. And I did find out some things from how appreciative the people are and how people are being humbled in our community. Not just there, but everywhere. Micheline over here, who has cancer, she is overwhelmed, and she needed a hug yesterday and just bawled. Her house has had water all the way through it. Floors are floating. Overwhelmed, she couldn't get over her son. And I'm just sharing some things that's going on around you, and many of you have been out in ministry, and I know that several of you, if not all of you, are going to be out ministering right after we close in prayer to dismiss. I've already heard you say, and so we're not having service tonight. We were planning on having a deacon ordination service tonight. But as we met with the deacons, we're having the deacon ordination service this morning. And as we prayed about that, the lights flickered in my office. At first thought, is the power fixing to go out? And the second thought coming, God was saying, I affirm. Let's do this. I'm going to share with you just some things. Bottled water is needed. Packaged food is needed. I have contacted Disaster Relief and asked them to bring the laundry ministry here, a shower ministry here, and to be in much prayers. We will be in touch when we get sizes of clothes and etc., but we don't want to bring anything in until we get sizes, because we get overwhelmed with stuff we don't know what to do with. This is being recorded this morning, so if people outside of our state that watches our services, if you would like to donate money to the ministry at Roan Creek Baptist Church, you can certainly do that. You'll get information on how to do that. Those that you're ministering to throughout our community, make sure that they take pictures of their disaster. For insurance purposes, they need to make sure that what they can and cannot do before they get started, to get insurance to pay for some of the things, as well as FEMA. One of our neighbors stopped by this morning as we were coming in, and she was sharing with me where they were going to minister at this morning as well, but they were going to be in touch with FEMA. So please make sure that people take pictures and that sort of thing. Chainsaws, of course, is going to be needed. Pressure washers, that sort of thing. Like I said, Millie, these are some of the things that's going on currently. Millie and her family is ministering across the road. Rebecca, we checked on her. And all the lights and power and water and everything over there. Micheline, of course, back here. Blake, over here to our neighbor on the corner. We checked with them yesterday. The garage back here in the back has mud throughout it. There's going to be a need to clean up to do that. Pray for our sister church, Antioch Baptist Church, that does not have a building this morning. We checked on some other folks. Thank God Linda Perdue is okay. Don't know if you know the story, but there's a story. Pray that they're okay. J.R. Arnold, his bridge is out to get to his house. Here's a thought. If you want to get ministry, if you want to get involved with chainsaws, pressure washer, cleaning out the garage back here, if you want to get involved with what they're doing across the road to Fellowship Center, be careful going across the bridge. There's only one way you can get across. If you want to check on Micheline and Blake or JR, please do that. If you have needs that need to be met that we can meet as a church and you're out and about more than what's on this list, contact me. Not that I'm going to take charge. You're going to be in charge, but we'll try to meet whatever needs that we can as a church body, because God can use this opportunity to reach people for Him, for His glory. Currently, the list that I have, you may have more. From Mountain Electric, from our church body, we have Steve and Dave and Danny that works there. Continue to pray for them. From EMS, we have Dakota. Pray for him. Pray for those others. While I was at EMS yesterday afternoon, they said they had a desperate need for oxygen tanks and carriers. There was one picked up yesterday afternoon. One of the deputies came by to take it to a 92-year-old woman that did not have her oxygen tank. So they got the tank, and I expected they went by and got it filled to take to her. So the ministry of that's still going on. Pray for Dakota. Pray for our sheriff and deputy department, Bit Brown. Bit, I understand, his dad got cut with a chainsaw. Did not.
Broke his leg.
He went through surgery
last night.
Went through surgery. Any update after surgery?
I've not talked to him this morning, but last night he was good.
Okay, very good. Not good, but I mean, keep praying for him. That he's okay. Yeah. Jeff Wagner from the road department. Continue to pray for him and those guys. There are, and if you're at home and you have electricity and have means to do this, if you could make snacks or you could bring packaged snacks, if you can get through Food Line, get water, drinks, that sort of thing, you could set up, okay, because they're coming through here. They're actually working out here on the curb right now. The road crews will be in trade. They will be up here where Daryl and Gladys McLeod lives on that curve. So if you wanted to go up there and just sit on your tailgate, when those guys go by, they'll be instructed that they can stop and get food and something to drink. Okay? If you've got means of getting coffee and keeping it hot, there you go. If you've got Mountain Dews or Dr. Nuffs, I'm sure they'll take that too. Okay? But for right now, until I get further instructions, at trade you can set up on your tailgate and they'll come through and get snacks and drinks. McLeod's up here in the curve, same way, they can do that. Another way that you can assist people right now, hugs and prayers and checking on them, welfare checks.
Pastor, I don't know if you know this, but the middle school lost a student, not due to the flood. So they
got a 13-year-old. heard it on a scanner. 13-year-old. We've had other fatalities in our county that's not got reported, I don't think, yet, that died by drowning. We need prayer. We need prayer. When you're listening to the scanner and you can hear some of these folks trying to get to somebody that's on the roof of their car with two kids and the water's already on top of the roof of the car and they can't get to them. And you can hear the helplessness. Please send somebody to help us here. When you can hear the desire of somebody to find this 10-year-old little girl's mama that she can't get in touch with, that lives right over there, that she hadn't heard from because she's home without power, she's home without water, and she's scared, and they're on their way. They discovered the little girl. They ministered to her, calmed her down, and was happy to report that mama was stranded at work, but wanted to know she was okay, and they helped her. You've heard many other stories, I'm sure, in our community, and there'll be more and more coming. Disaster relief's coming this way, but church, we can take right now as the momentum movement and be the church. We can be the church. And so what I'm going to ask us to do this morning, I'm not going to do a children's message this morning because we're having the deacon ordination service, but I want you to know the irony of this. We've been each week doing the Noah story. First week was on how that the corruption was throughout the world and was populated, but the increased evil had populated to the point that God said he was going to destroy. Never rained. Had never rained then. And he instructed Noah to build the first ark, the first boat. And he gave him the exact details of building the boat, and he told the people, he preached to the people, continue to seek out the Lord, or you're going to drown. Turn from your evil ways and turn to God. And they didn't listen. And you know the rest of the story. Today's children's message was going to be the flood. Okay? And when I share with you what those EMS and first responders was dealing with, in comparison to Noah and his family, when God shut the door to the ark and the floods came, and the people on the outside was drowning, probably scratching and clawing at the door, crying out, please, please help me. And it was too late. Can we, body of Christ, be the church that takes the time to reach out to the people who are lost and dying and going to hell? We're going to pray. We're going to take the time to pray. Tom, if you've got a CD up there that you want to play softly, that's fine. But if you want to pray, pray for our county. Pray for the ministry needs and the mission that we have before us, that God would give us the strength and the wisdom to know what to do and how to do it. Pray for this 13-year-old family, okay? But I'm going to ask if you would, if you're physically able, will you humble yourselves and pray right now? Altar is open for you to come and pray. Thank you. Trent, would you lead us in a corporate prayer, please? Thank you, church. As you're returning, I need a couple of ushers up here, please. And as you're returning, if anybody knows how to fix a shower that does not work, no pun intended, but the shower in the office drips at full blast, and if anybody knows how to fix that thing, I've had at least half a dozen people call me and ask me if they could come to the church and shower, and I said, well, it won't work there, but I said, you're welcome to get wherever you can to get water. So if you know how, God has blessed us, and as He has blessed us, would you give your tithes, your offerings to the Lord? Wes, would you pray for the tithes? Amen. Thank you. Thank you, guys. If you would, it looks like some of you need a handshake or a hug. Just to say I'm glad you're here this morning. So fellowship with one another, if you would, please. Take this time. Miss Dana. How you doing, girl?
Good.
Great, great fellowship. All right, the music has stopped. I know you're enjoying fellowship and hugs. All right, church, we can return to our seats. I know you're loving the fellowship, and hopefully you can get more of that. This will be a challenge to our deacons and to our church. I didn't think that it was going to be the challenge. I have another deacon ordination challenge to the church and to the deacons, but looking it over and feeling God's Spirit move, I think this is appropriate for this time. But I want to recognize our deacons. Bob Heck has been a deacon at Roan Creek Baptist Church for 50 years. Tom Nelson, been a deacon at Roan Creek Baptist Church for 46 years. Wade Thomas, who has a chainsaw in his hand and helping somebody this morning, pray for his safety. A deacon at Roan Creek Baptist Church for 46 years. Junior Eastridge, been a deacon at Roan Creek Baptist Church 35 years. There's a lot of history and a lot of legacy there. Would you say? Amen. A lot of wisdom. A lot of things they've seen that I pray that these young whippersnappers as deacons will glean from them the wisdom and the knowledge as they mentor them. Joey Phillips has been a deacon at our church at Roan Creek for 12 years. Trent Snyder has been a deacon at our church at Roan Creek for 12 years. And Tom Dean, up there running the sound, video, and everything else that goes on up there for 3 years, he's been a deacon at Roan Creek Baptist. And this morning, after the deacons have met with Jason Palmer, we're going to ordain him as one of our new deacons. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to begin in verse 1. The way I remember where Ephesians is, I say General Electric Power Company. I know it's the second one. General Electric. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And that's a charge to the deacons, but that's also a charge to the body of Christ. Amen. Walk worthy of the vocation where you're with called. Does EMS have a call? Not that they get calls, but I said, do they have a call that this is what they do? Not everybody can do that. Thank God for them. Does those people that's working the power lines to get our power back on, do they have a call? Are you glad they do? Amen. to those people that work on the road crews to make sure that your road is safe and not fixing a clap, they have a call. Are you glad they do? And the sheriff's department, they have a call. In fact, when I text Bit Brown and said, "Dude, I'm praying for you. Thank you for what you're doing," he said, "It's a call." And that's how it got in the message today. That it's a call. And you, wherever God has placed you, you have a call on your life. As a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, He planted you and put you wherever you are to walk worthy of that call. How do you walk with that call? Verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, amen, through all and in you all. Father in heaven, take this time to be magnified and glorified, that God focuses upon you as we work together of the call that you've got on our lives as one in the bonds of unity and peace to serve and to bring all the glory to you. May God, you bless this time that your Holy Spirit speaks to us. And as we hear, may we respond to the call. In Jesus' name, amen. John MacArthur said, "Perhaps no church in history has a rich heritage as the congregation at Ephesus. If you were to look at their heritage throughout the Bible of the people at Ephesus, you find that Priscilla and Aquila brought the first gospel to the Ephesians people. Apollos, he preached there and taught Bible study. Paul helped the church to grow in unity and in strength. Timothy pastored there as well. John spent his last years of ministry there and addressed them as one of the seven churches in the book of Revelation. Yet with all that heritage and godly investment over the years, the church digressed from an active, enthusiastic faith growing in God's Word to lose track of their mission that God called them to and the heritage that God had instilled within them. They lost that. Why did they lose that? They lost it. If you were to read Revelations, you would see that they became very complacent, settled in their ways, settled in their traditions, self-reliant, and began to just self-serve. The unity with God and their unity with one another was no longer. Recently, I was at my dad's house going through some things. I grew up in a church in Johnson City, Skyline Heights Baptist Church. I found the picture on an album. I don't know, not a picture album, but an album that you play the music from the choir. Some of you wouldn't understand, but some of you will. On the front cover of that thing was a picture of the people of Skyline Heights Baptist Church. They had three rows, a little bit deeper. They could have 300 people here and 100 people in the balcony. They had 400 people there plus, because everything was filled up. People were scrunched up. And I happened to look at that very closely, and I picked out that my mom sat right there. How did I know? Because she had those little pointy glasses and a smile. I was like, "That's Mom." But Skyline Heights, folks, lost their eagerness to reach people and serve and minister to people. They begin to think inwardly and take care of what they had. They lost their mission to the point that just a few years ago, even though their church building was paid for, everything's paid for, all that was done, they could not pay the bills with the 15 to 20 people on a good Sunday. They couldn't pay the bills. They were fixing to close the doors because people started dying off. It became 20, 15. Kept going. They were fixing to close the doors. And Tennessee Baptist came in and said, "We have a church. They're called the City Church. They're looking for a building because they're growing exponentially. Would you all be willing to allow them to have services here?" With reluctancy of trying to hang on to the legacy, they said, "Yeah, but can it be called Skyline Heights Baptist Church, or can it be called Skyline Heights, the Depot City Church?" I think that's what it's called. And they said, "Yeah." They're beginning to grow back, but it's with different people. A whole different mindset. You see, this church had to die before it could be resurrected. But thank God they didn't have to close the doors, that they made a provision through Tennessee Baptist that they said, "We need a church to come in." Thank God. It would be sad. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. The church at Ephesus. This is the church that digressed. Verse 4. "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou hast fallen, and repent." Turn around. "And do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove the candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." Unity is the indicator of followers of Christ actively loving one another as Christ loves the church, as well as the indicator of how the church loves him. Amen. And he calls us to walk in a manner that's worthy. When he says "therefore" in the Bible, it's there for a reason. But now the "therefore" is also a hinge. It's a word that connects the first three chapters of Ephesians to the last three chapters of Ephesians. Verses or chapters 1 through 3, those three chapters deal with the doctrine, the riches, and the wealth. The last three chapters deal with duty, responsibilities, and walk with God. The early church, they saw many people saved and baptized, saw them discipled and following of Christ. Turn back, if you would, to Acts chapter 2. When you arrive there, say amen. 2, 3, 4. Okay. Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 40. "And with many other words did they testify and exhort, encourage, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they gladly received the word, were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Praise God. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and breaking of bread, and in prayers. fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. You see the unity there? They testified in their word, their behavior, their encouragement to one another. Even though they had different perspectives and had different ways, they all came together as one because of the untoward generation, the evil that was going on. They gathered together as one. They were eager to hear and learn from God's word so that they may apply it to their lives and be led by the Holy Spirit. They were eager to testify of their new life in Christ. They were eager to get baptized to say, "This is my new life in Christ." They were faithful to the Bible study and fellowship and praying with one another. Hello? Yep. In the unity, they had common things. And the common thing they had was to honor God Almighty. No attention to themselves. All the attention went to God, our Savior and Lord. They shared their possessions and goods. Get that? They shared their possessions and goods. They were faithful in their tithes. They were faithful in their offerings. They were faithful in gathering for worship and remembering what God has done for them through Jesus Christ. They had this singleness of heart, not demanding their way or having any control issues. They were being led by the Holy Spirit of God to guide them to focus on God's kingdom, to honor Him, and to be people that has that mission before them to see people saved and on the road to discipleship. So I'm sure that they met the needs of the people, the physical needs first, and then seen the kingdom of God added. Do you see how we can do that, church? Do you see the mission before us? Do you see where we are right now? Do you see the opportunity before us? It's all about Christ. It's all about Him. We have to get out of our comfort zones and see what God wants to do with us. We are His church. We should make a conscious choice and have the zeal to see remarkable results that God can do as we pray and work together as one. May the God bring the singleness of heart and have souls saved and on a road to discipleship. Praise God. May we be faithful and obedient to His word. May we be eager to maintain unity in the church. This is God's church. Hello? This is not my church. This is not your church. This is God's church. And when we get outside these doors, we're still God's church, going out, sharing the gospel, good news, meeting physical needs, telling people why we're doing what we're doing, because we love God, we love people, we want to see you in heaven, because if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, you'll be there too. Unity work. Be diligent to preserve. Be humble. Be gentle. Be patient. That's hard, isn't it? Hello? Anybody been in line, a food line or gas station lately? Two of you. Three, four, five, six. There we go. Have you had to wait? Patience. Now, if that guy don't move up, I'm going to skip line in the car. He's on his cell phone probably, even though he can't get cell service. I'm going to get up there in front of him. If he don't move up, somebody's going to cut him off. I've got six items. I want you to look at that grocery cart in front of me. They're filled up. Why don't they just let me go in front of them? Could I get a witness? If our mindset is on bringing glory and honor to God, your perspective will change. I'm speaking to myself. I don't know if you're hearing me or not, but yeah. Be patient, be loving, be kind, fully surrendered to God. Are you fully surrendered to the perfect will of God? Do you really have that eagerness to grow deeper in God's plan for your life? You got to lean on Him. You got to trust Him. To bring forth much fruit, you got to abide in Him. But without that, you can't do nothing. Are you one with God? Are you one with each other? That's important. Deacons, church, are you one with God? And are you one with each other? If not, I pray you make that conscious decision today. Because indeed, there is one Lord, there's one baptism, there's one hope, there's one God, there's one Spirit, and one body. It is our duty and our responsibility to walk with God. I'm going to ask Tom if he would to play. You need to make a decision. I'll be here to help you to make that decision, pray with you about anything that God's laid on your heart. But the altar is going to be open for your personal needs for prayer, to talk with God this morning. So this invitation, would you respond to what God's telling you to do right now? Would you stand? God, as we extend your invitation, as we have shared your word, that it is our duty, it is our responsibility to walk with you. And so, Father, you know where we are. You know where we are on the concerns of unity. You know where we are on the concerns of our eagerness to learn and to lean on you and to understand what you have for us to do. God, so I pray right now that this altar becomes a welcome spot to talk to you. And if there's a decision that needs to be made, God, that this morning there'll be no delay in responding. Thank you for what you're going to do in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. Altar's open as the music plays. If you want to pray, it's welcome. Deacons, if you would you come? Jason, if you and Jessica would come up, please. David, if you would come up, please, and have a seat as an order. Jason, I'm going to have you sit in the chair, please. And Jessica, you're going to stand right behind him with your hands on him to make sure he doesn't move. Put your hands on his shoulder as we... The bulletins that you are going to receive there has an order of service. We've covered most of that. In welcome and prayer. We've had Amazing Grace sing. And by the way, you all sounded beautiful. That a cappella sound is just beautiful, singing Amazing Grace. We've recognized our deacons and their services. And if there's other ordained deacons, pastors in the house, you're welcome to come. 1 Timothy chapter 3. It says, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy, filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved, and let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. As we do that, we prayed for, we watched Jason serve and grow in Christ. And so today, as the deacons have agreed, and church, you have agreed, that Jason Palmer become one of our new deacons. I'm going to ask Tom Nelson if he would, one of our 46-year deacons at Roan Creek Baptist Church, to come. He wants to say a word to Jason and charge to him. And then I want to ask you to pray for him and his family and our church body as they receive him. Thank you, Tom. Just Tom, we could ask deacons, if you would, to line up on this side. church body, if you want to pray at this time, definitely pray from your pew where you're at. I'm going to ask the deacons to come by and have a word of prayer for Jason and Jessica. That'll be specifically to them silently. David, you can join them there as well as an ordained deacon. And we're just going to take this time to pray. The deacon's going to pray over him and his family. And I ask you, if you would, to pray from where you are for their family at this time.
Lord God, we pray for your family. We pray over your wife, family. Let us pray that you bless this family that you already have. Lord, dear, be a blessing to our church. Lord, God, for that. We pray, God, to be able to that each and every day, thank you all the time. God bless you. God bless us. I just pray that you'll be, God, that you would send your spirit upon you. Be great and lead our church through this world of doubt and right now. Give you strength and wisdom and
Certain.